This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. We'll be talking with former American Idol David Cook in just a moment. First, 77% of millennials can't name one U.S. senator from their home state. News site Fusion did a poll of millennials, people born in the early 80s to the early 2000s, to judge their political knowledge and find out who they want to be president in 2016. According to the research, millennials want Hillary Clinton to be president. When polled, 55% of responders said Hillary Clinton, 31% said Mitt Romney, who said he's not running this week, and 14% said they weren't sure. With Romney out of the picture, millennial Republicans said their next choice for the office was Jeb Bush, then Rand Paul and Paul Ryan. Bush did well, especially among young Latino voters. 29% of those polled identified themselves as Democrats, while 22% were Republican and 29% were independent. Of those independents, more said that if pushed, they would identify as Democrats over Republicans. Unfortunately, many millennials are not up on their politics. 77% could not name either of their senators from their home state. They are in agreement, however, about which topics they want the next president to tackle. The most important issue to them is jobs, while health care, education, budgets, and immigration came in after that. With February being Black History Month and the wealth gap between white and black Americans reaching its highest level since 1989, the leading personal finance social network WalletHub is raising awareness of the issue by releasing its report on 2015 states with the highest and lowest financial gap by race or ethnicity. To measure the financial inequity among racial groups in the United States, WalletHub analyzed the 50 states and the District of Columbia, including 21 key metrics ranging from the median household income gap to the unemployment rate gap. States with the lowest financial gaps by race or ethnicity include Missouri, Montana, New Hampshire, New Mexico, and Kentucky tied for sixth, followed by Hawaii, Alaska, Vermont, West Virginia, and number one, Florida. States with the highest financial gap by race or ethnicity: South Dakota, Massachusetts, Illinois, the District of Columbia, Connecticut, Iowa, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Rhode Island, and the worst state for the highest financial gap by race, Minnesota. Some key statistics: the highest median household income gap is five times higher in the District of Columbia than in Vermont. The highest home ownership rate gap is three times higher in North Dakota than in New Mexico. The highest poverty rate gap is six times higher in Connecticut than in Hawaii. The highest educational attainment gap among people with at least a bachelor's degree is five times higher in the District of Columbia than, say, in Vermont. Former American Idol David Cook is back on tour and about to release some new music. When we caught up with him, he was rehearsing in Tennessee.
I am actually at home in Nashville. We're doing a tour prep this week.
The folks that won tickets from us, they went and they were like, well, yeah, I saw him on TV. But then they were raving about you in concert. They were so impressed by your musicianship, and they were pleasantly surprised that your concerts were much more than what they saw on TV. And, obviously that's true. You have more time and more songs to deal with. But, kudos to you, because you really impressed these people that went.
Oh, thank you. That's one of the nicer compliments I think I've ever gotten about this. We try really hard to give people more than what they expected and more than what they paid for at these shows. And so those are the kind of things I like to hear. I'll play just about anywhere as long as they'll have us and we can walk away not at a complete financial loss. So
what is it like for David Cook these days? You say you're in Nashville. I know you're writing songs, even songs that are turning into hits for other people, right?
Yeah, one of the things that really intrigued me about Nashville, because I moved here, I think we're coming up on 3 years, was just the creative community was a little bit more open. And so I came out here and immediately was able to kind of get into some co-writes with some other writers and, just kind of threw stuff against the wall to see what stuck. And my third co-write here was actually, I wrote a song called Kiss You Tonight that ended up being David Nail's latest single. So very fortunate, and really, really kind of loving it out of here, because I think being able to write for other people and attack the creative, process a different way has kind of allowed me to open up my own stuff a little bit.
So it doesn't bother you, or it actually gives you joy to write something that someone else sings and turns into a hit, even though you put the pen to paper?
Absolutely, yeah. I think I kind of take the Sia approach. There's songs that I write. I'm proud of all the songs that I write and all that stuff, and I have a connection to all of them, obviously. But, there's ones that kind of grab me emotionally more than others, and I think the ones that really grab me are the ones that I try to hold on to for myself. But yeah, I just kind of enjoy it because it opens up the process for me just across the board to do stuff for myself or stuff for other people.
So give us an idea of a typical day. People are listening all over the country to this interview, and they're wondering, well, how do you do that? How do you write with other people? How does that work? So on a typical day, you get up and just drive around till you see another songwriter?
Yeah, we all stand on the corners and just, you know, hitchhike our way to the sessions. No, it's I've got some people in my camp that'll book co-writes, and a lot of times it's with people I don't know or haven't met yet. So it's a little blind date-ish. You spend the first 20-30 minutes just talking and trying to get a vibe on one another, and then you just go for it. And some days are easier than others. Some songs are better than others. It really is, you know, just kind of, if you're writing by yourself, you're not always going to write the big hit, but you keep going back to the well and hopefully you find something.
Wow, that sounds like such an interesting process, because, you know, what if the other person doesn't really like what you're contributing, or you don't like what they're contributing? I mean, how do you get out of something like that?
You power through until you get something. Or another great thing about Nashville here is everybody kind of operates on, you know, you're done by about 5 or 6 p.m. And so if you don't have something finished by then, it's always pretty easy to go, well, we'll just come back to it another time. And, you know, so there are outs built into the process, I'd say.
Well, of course, I'm looking at it sort of as a negative, but when you do match up with somebody, whether you knew them before or you're meeting them, like you say, a blind date, and you really click and something happens, you can feel that right away, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, when you hit an idea that's got some legs, it pretty much kind of takes, you know, you and whoever else is in the room on for the ride. I've always found that the better songs, the great songs, are written pretty quickly, I'd say within, you know, an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah, so they come easily because the words and the music, just everything seems to come at once, right? Like a rush.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, the ones that don't necessarily work can take quite a while.
And then they still don't work. No.
Exactly.
Well, no, I've spoken to a number of songwriters over the years, so that's why I have some insight. I've never written a song, so I really don't know firsthand, but that's what I've heard from other people, that many times that people wake up and they've dreamt the whole song and the lyrics came with it and everything was just dropped in their lap, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. No, it's almost songwriter 101 to have a notepad next to the bed. I end up using my phone more than anything, using the notepad.
And I just have to mention, because I know you do a lot of work for in the research and fighting of brain cancer after losing your older brother. And I was just at a brain tumor, a fundraiser on Sunday with this group called Friends for Michael. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. It's a small...
I think I may have.
It's a small charity based... The fellow and his wife both work at West Point as instructors or professors. And they lost their son, Michael, at age 13. And in his memory, they have this Friends for Michael Foundation. And what they do is they step in when they get a referral from a children's hospital anywhere in the country. Their niche is that they send, maybe not a lot of money, but they send money almost immediately as soon as they confirm the case to help out with lodging or food or wheelchair or whatever the case may be, and they get that money like in their hands within like 48 hours. So that's been
incredible.
Yeah, that's been their, as I say, their niche in this field of brain cancer and brain tumor research and support organizations.
It's such a multifaceted issue. Anytime, you know, somebody ends up going through this, you know, not only the illness itself and trying to treat it, but also, you know, stuff like that kind of can fall through the cracks. So it's awesome that there's an organization paying attention to it.
One more thing, and you wouldn't remember this either, but I remembered. You and I have the same birthday, December 20th.
Isn't it a great birthday?
It is, because it's happy birthday, Merry Christmas. I hope you like the one gift you got for the two occasions.
Oh, the plight. I love it.
Yeah. So, but I'm much older than you, but happy birthday belatedly.
Happy birthday to you as well.
The time of my life. Do you still enjoy singing that song? You must have done it a million times since Idol.
I get asked that question quite a bit. I think people assume that I have this huge disdain for that song. I don't necessarily dislike the song. I think it represents, you know, this awesome, you know, moment in my life and my career. And so I always have, you know, a soft spot for that song. No, I don't mind playing it. No, we don't play it every night, but I don't mind playing it.
Oh, you don't play it every night. It's not one of those things that you have to play.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I've been pretty fortunate. I don't really have anybody breathing down my neck too much about playing any particular song. So we kind of, for lack of a better way to say it, I guess we kind of just do what we want to do.
Now, do you have a CD coming out in 2015?
That is the plan, yeah. I finished tracking a record late last year, and now we're just in the process of figuring out the best way to put it out. So hoping to make an announcement on that pretty soon.
All right, well, we'll be waiting to hear, because we always love new music, and especially from someone who's been so successful like David Cook, and all the best to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you making the time.
With former American Idol David Cook, I'm Mike Bennett, and you're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
Welcome to American Biker Minute, Name in Town.
Stephen Mann, Wiley, Texas. Just bought a new bike. We'll go down to Rick Fairless's Stroker there in Dallas.
The TV show.
That is where they film the reality show. Yeah.
Stroker's Dallas, a great place to go today on American Biker Minute.
Get set for spring with a free Lancome gift exclusively at Macy's. Receive new Visionaire, Definisil, and Bifacil. Choose a day cream blush and gloss duo in a cosmetics bag with any $35 or more Lancome purchase. Spend $70 or more and pick an additional duo. Visit your Lancome counter today only at Macy's.
Jeff Ryan from American Biker Minute bought a bike from Rick Fairless.
I actually bought it from Rick, and they were interviewing Rick on TV, and Kim didn't know that they were doing it, and she walked right by the camera. And Rick goes, "You didn't see that camera?" He goes, "No." He goes, "Well, it looks like you're going to be on TV, dude."
Rick lost the show.
Even though the show's canceled, he still is real active in bike runs and rallies and supporting just local bikers. Give them a place to go and a place to come cool off, place to get a beer or whatever, and it's a great place to go.
American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on two wheels.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
A five-time All-Star, this former Cleveland Indian was the fourth player in baseball history to have 30 home runs and 100 RBIs in eight consecutive seasons.
Now the 2-2 offering. A swing and a drive! Deep left! Way back! Gone! Albert Bell!
So where is Albert Bell now? Albert's surly persona may have hurt his Hall of Fame chances as he was dropped from the ballot in 2007 for lack of support. Albert says he's been Mr. Mom the last few years, staying home to raise his four daughters. Albert visited the Indian spring training camp in 2012 and was happy to reminisce about his former team.
You know, we took our lumps when we were young, but then, you know, we turned it around in the new stadium and, you know, we started, you know, dishing out lumps and had a pretty good run.
Sounds like a kinder and gentler Albert Bell to me. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Get set for spring with a free Lancome gift exclusively at Macy's. Receive new Visionaire, Definisil, and Bifacil. Choose a day cream blush and gloss duo in a cosmetics bag with any $35 or more Lancome purchase. Spend $70 or more and pick an additional duo. Visit your Lancome counter today only at Macy's.